You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
If you are a Christian, you should become knowledgeable of your walk as a believer, and you should seek out counsel from those who have already been there. I don't understand why younger women don't want to talk to the mothers. Well, what can they tell me? They from a different generation. But they survived. They've been where you're yet to go. I used to tell my pastor, he would say to me, he said, Eric, why are you down here 2-3 times a week? I said, Pastor, you have fallen into holes that I have yet to enter. Why would I need to fall into them? Just tell me how to avoid them. He looked at me and said, I wish some of the other pastors would feel that way. I can't speak for the other pastors. I don't want to fall in those holes. My pastor taught me how to interact with females. I was standing next to him one day while he was shaking hands, and he said to me, he said, son, never compliment a woman when she comes down to greet you. He said, because a lot of them can't handle it because they're not getting compliments at home. He said, so if you compliment them, they'll run away. Pastor Lambert likes my perfume. Pastor Lambert, ooh, child. Pastor Norman, Pastor Lambert like my dress. And next week, you're going to wear something else so that I'll compliment. And if I don't compliment you, you're going to kill my rabbit. You're going to boil him and bring him to church and throw him on my car. He taught me. So I learned how to maintain an honest reputation from my pastor's teaching. I was one of those young Pentecostals. Oh, hug everybody. He said, son, don't do that. So I established a criteria for hugging. I ain't hugging you unless you knew me as a child, shared DNA with me as a family, knew my childhood nickname, or old enough to be my grandmother. Listen to Paul. He says, furthermore, we beseech you that you ought to know how to walk as we've taught you so you can grow in your salvation. For you know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He said, but this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Now watch this. How does one abstain from sexual immorality? That every one of you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Here's what that means. It means that as you grow in Christ, you know when your body is craving companionship. If you are not married to somebody, stay away. Somebody walks up to you and says, oh, praise the Lord. Can we keep talking about this over dinner? And you feel, you know, you're starting to feel a little amorous. Tell them, no. No, we can meet in the conference room at 2901. We ain't going to dinner. Why do we need to go to dinner with candlelight so we can talk about Sunday school? And the lesson next week is David and Bathsheba. No, you got to know how to possess your vessel. You have to know how, when your body is giving you signals, you have to know how to possess it. There's no shame in it. God made you sexual beings, but you can't have sex with everybody. You know. When you're feeling particularly amorous, dress down. Throw on big baggy sweats. Don't put perfume on your wrist and in your elbow, behind your ear, the pheromone spots. Stay away from it. Know how to possess your vessel. You're a Christian. You have been called to represent the kingdom of God. What is the largest complaint that people have against President Trump? He's not acting presidential. Presidents don't tweet. And presidents don't engage in back and forth banter. Say what you want to say about President Obama. They said everything they could say about him. He just took the high road and acted presidential. No slander, no scandal, none of it. You and I ought to live the same way. So at the end of the day, God says, I can trust you anywhere. Because you know who you are. Everybody ought to know how to possess their vessel. He said, not in the lust of concupiscence or evil desire, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that's how they live. And so when we go back to Romans chapter 6, he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. Now, brothers, the Bible says you're to treat the ladies, the younger ladies as sisters and the older ladies as mothers. It says you're to treat the men as brothers and the older men as fathers. Why? Because the church is a family. It's a shame when men can't talk to women without a sexual motivation. It's a shame that you can't share conversations about different things without having an ulterior motive. That bothers me. You mean to tell me when I sit down here sometimes, you can't come up and just shake my hand and you and I talk about different things without feeling the need for other stuff? We're brothers and sisters. We shouldn't commit incest. We should be honorable. We don't need to hug and touch and pull people close. You don't really need to shake hands all the time. Just say hi. Howie Mandel is a germaphobic. He never shakes a hand. He just bumps. I don't like shaking hands because somebody can shake your hand, grab you, and pull you off guard and pull you off balance and then jack you. So I'm like, hey, how's it going? I'm sorry. I just think militarily. I think everybody got a motive to hurt me, so I'm always ready. Angel come down like he did Joshua and pull out a sword, Jack. but understand. I'm sorry, Lord. But understand, the Bible is saying there's a relationship that goes with this. And we shouldn't always have sex at the center. Every woman's not a potential bed partner. Every man is not a potential money getter. We should look at each other with the love of Christ and not expect something. If somebody in here, the Lord blesses them a certain way, we shouldn't automatically think of ways that we can get their money. No, we should think like Christ. And every one of us ought to know how to possess our bodies as vessels of honor, not advertising what's not for sale. We've allowed the world to make us adorn ourselves like we're available. If you catch a man by advertising, then he's not worth getting. Because as soon as you get home, there was an episode in All in the Family. And Gloria was a blonde. And one day Gloria came home and she had on a black wig. And Mike went nuts. Oh, my goodness. He was so turned on and aroused by Gloria in that wig. So he was coming on to her, and she was liking the attention. And so when it was time to go to bed, he's laying up in bed. He had put on Old Spice, and he was laying up in bed waiting for his brunette. And Gloria came in with the wig with the doll head and her regular hair. And Michael said, put the wig on. And she said, no, I'm not going to sleep in it. He said, come on, put the wig on. Just put it on for tonight. She said, no. Then she looked at him and said, you want to cheat on me with me. You see, this outside stuff is going to change. You marry him for his six-pack, but then he gets a keg as he gets older. And you still got to love him. We must keep the inside. Relationships are formed, relationships that are substantive are formed from the inside. But how do you discover the inside? Talking. What do you have in common? Do you like the same things? Do you enjoy the same path of life? If you are an introvert who likes staying at home and you marry a party animal, you're going to be alone. And when you're alone, you are susceptible to others. So you create your own fall. Just go with me because this is my foundation. I'm almost done. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from this moment forward we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from it. Paul uses a word here, serving sin. How does one serve sin when we've always made sin impersonal? How do you serve it? We've never looked at sin as having the power to bring us to our knees. But Paul says the same thing that God said in the book of Genesis when he approaches Cain. And he says, why is your face red? He said, don't you know if you obeyed me, I would receive your offering? He said, but sin is at your door. And if you do not change your ways, he's going to get the better of you. God is the first one that makes sin personal. Brothers and sisters, sin is not something to be taken lightly. It is a destructive power that is very insidious. It eats away at the foundation of your life. The Bible says, when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, something dies. That means it is inevitable, inevitable that something is going to die when you sin. It just might take a while, but something is going to die. And yet Paul declares here in Romans 6 that you and I are crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from that moment forward, we don't serve sin. What is it that makes you want to go and do something contrary to the will, the word of God? Sin. Paul tries to go on later and express it. Oh, my God, time. Look, in verse 12, he says, let not sin reign in where? Your mortal body, that you should obey it. Obey sin? Yes. Yes. It is sin that says, turn on that television show that's showing all that ungodly sex. Sin tells it to you, and your hands surrender to it and click it on the remote control. Sin says, get up and go down to the crack house and enjoy yourself. Sin tells it to you, but your feet carry you down to that house. Then your hands stuff the crack pipe. So he goes on to say in verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Hold it. How do I yield myself to God? Oh, he says, I'm not to yield myself as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You mean I have the authority to tell my hands? Yes. I stood in Wegmans waiting to pay for my food, and sin said, steal a candy bar. You remember you used to do it at the A&P on Dolphin Street. Sin always needs a point of reference. See, sin can't tempt me to drink because I never drank. So he can't say to me, you remember how to, I never drank, but he can tempt me to steal. But I stole a lot. If I had the money for what I stole, we could build our church without you giving. There used to be a train that went on up and down Glenwood Avenue, and that train, they used to carry stuff in them trains, and we had a phrase called hit the trains. And when they would stop that train and they would leave it there sometimes overnight while they changed locomotives or whatever, we hit the trains. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. Your pastor wasn't born a Christian. I was reborn. And I was young. Yes, I was. Sin starts early. Even after I moved out the neighborhood, I went back. So I know what that is. So when I'm standing there and sin says, go ahead and grab that buttercup. Grab that. There's some Hershey's with almonds. He made sure he said almonds. I don't like the regular Hershey. He said, there they are with almonds. I picked that bad boy up. Now, as soon as I pick it up, here's what I do. Why is all that coming back to me and I just been in the pulpit preaching to you? But then I said, nah, I ain't yielding. I put it back. Sin fights with me the whole time. Fights with me the whole time. Go back and get that thing. Nobody's looking at you. And even if you get it, nobody's going to say nothing to you because this neighborhood, Wegmans, is not where your people are. They ain't going to say nothing to you. You think that sin doesn't approach me because I'm the pastor? I have to tell my members, absolutely not. We're not doing that anymore. Now, it hasn't gotten to the point where I have to run, but if sin overwhelms you to the point where you feel yourself giving in, Paul said, flee. That's what happened to Joseph when Potiphar's wife grabbed a hold of him, and he turned and looked at her and said, baby, you fine. He said, but no, I can't do this. And the Bible said he ran. That tells you she was good looking, because he wouldn't have had to run if the other was true. He ran out of there. And sometimes you have to leave certain conditions. Why? Because I'm a Christian. If for no other reason, I'm a Christian. I belong to God. My members belong to God. These hands don't steal anymore, according to Ephesians 4. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Let him get a job. These are hands that I lift up the name of Jesus. These are hands that I clap with. These are not feet that take me into bad situations. These are feet that bring me to church and bring me to publish the word of God. And I refuse to yield them to the devil. Listen, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Hear what he says. If you are dead to sin, you're free from it. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can get to a point where it becomes a task for you to sin. It's no longer easy. Your flesh fights with you to sin. Now, we have to understand the lifestyle of the new creature. I need you to come get these messages so you can begin to walk that life. Father, we thank you for your word in calling us to harmonious relationship with you and separating us from a life that does not please you. Beat back those forces of darkness that pull us into a lifestyle contrary to your word. For Father, we really want to please you. We really want to give you praise, honor, and glory. So help us in Jesus' name. Someone here today doesn't know you, so I pray now that they join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me for sinning against you. I ask you now to wash me clean in your precious blood and deliver me from ungodliness. I thank you for dying on the cross, and I thank you for saving me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you said it and meant it, God has done it, and your life is now his. But it's not the end, it's the beginning. You walk into the movie theater, and you pay the $175. To get in. Now, when you pay the $175 to get in, that's the entrance. Once you walk in, you look over at the counter where the food is.
Now you go over and you get your popcorn with layered butter. You get your two hot dogs or your cheese and marinara sauce, your cheeseburger, your pizza, whatever you get. You get 15,000 calories worth of food, and you ask for a Diet Coke. That costs you $9,752. After you get your food in the tray, you walk over to the theater that your movie will be shown. You stopped so your eyes can become accustomed to the dark and your pupils can dilate. And you find your seat and you settle in. Once you settle in, you begin to eat while you watch the previews or whatever. And the worst thing that happens is someone coming to sit in your row while you're comfortable. Excuse me. Are those seats taken?
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Purpose of the Church, or the program number 03-419-9A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. The Word Network is available on Fios Channel 292. You can also view featured sermons on the Bethel Deliverance International Church YouTube channel. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
All are invited to our annual Senior Life Expo, happening Saturday, April 27th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. here at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Seniors, come out and enjoy continental breakfast, lunch, morning stretch and workout, songs of joy and life, short skits, a senior choir, a senior craft table, fashion show, a health segment taught by our registered nurse, and much, much more. You don't want to miss this event. The address is 2923 West Sheltenham Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. We hope to see all seniors there.